Welcome to Bar Talk, the place women go to train, grow, and find balance in Christ. Today's topic is Surviving the Storm, Godly Feminine Outlets. Now, as we know, life is not always smooth sailing. And that's a strange connection because, funny enough, the first time I met God truly was when I was by myself at sea, miles and miles away from home. And during that time, there were storms that rocked the boat, made me feel nervous, made me unaware of what was going to happen next. But in the midst of that rocking, I found faith. I literally was able to find God on the boat. So today, we're going to learn how to weather the storm when seas get rough. You ready? Take a deep breath in. And 5, 6, 7. So the first feminine outlet I want to highlight is an outlet that I have considered valuable my entire life, and that is journaling. From the time that I was 13 up until now, which is over a decade, I've kept note of the things that happened in my life through my writing. So growing up as a child, I wasn't always presented with the opportunities to express myself outside of dance, of course. So when those strong emotions would come up that had nowhere to fall in terms of a listening ear, I would turn to my journals. And journaling really helped me to become self-sufficient in the sense that I learned to sit with my own thoughts and I learned to sit with God in terms of the issues that were happening in my life. Journaling for me was an outlet that allowed me to empty my brain of potentially negative thoughts and put them in a place where I could look at them with a different vantage point, right? For example, I might look at something that I written after a hard experience and I read it from the perspective of an outside party. And I ask myself questions like, if this were your friend saying this, what advice would you give her? Or if you were someone else, would you take this kind of treatment? And if not, why are you allowing yourself to go through this? Do you not think that you're valuable enough to have peace or to be respected? And practicing this outlet over time allowed me to process things in a way that were not influenced by outside voices, because the only voice that I adhered to was the voice of logic, which, glory to God, I have some discernment, and I've had discernment, you know, since I was younger in terms of, you know, why people do the things they do and how relationships affect me. God has allowed me to always have at least a little bit, not too much now, because I've been a fool. I'm still foolish sometimes. The Lord is still working on me. But He has allowed me to go through the things that I've gone through in this life to build a repertoire of wisdom that I can always pull from. And in the moments where I feel like my wisdom isn't enough, which is always, right, me knowing what I know now, I can take what I've written in my journal to Him as prayers. And many times what I'm journaling, they are prayers to God, just in a written form. And that for me has been so therapeutic because although I may not have always had a listening ear that was physical, right? In the spirit, my Heavenly Father was always listening to me and wanting me to come to Him with everything that was on my heart. Right, there was nothing that was off limits or too dirty. I learned over time, like, this is my friend, right? The Holy Spirit is my helper. He was given to me for these tough moments in life where I feel like I do not know what to do, Lord. So I'm laying this issue, I'm laying my emotions, I'm laying my confusion, my pain, my anger. I'm laying it all at your feet. And I'm asking you to guide me through this, even day by day. Like, Lord, I need you because if you don't step into this, I don't know how I'm gonna get through it. So, not only did journaling allow me to process my emotions, but I see now it really allowed me to learn to rely on God. Not my parents, not my friends in certain instances, not social media, but to take every concern of my heart to the feet of God through prayer and through journaling, more specifically. Speaking of friends, the people that you keep around you, especially in the hard moments of your life, make all the difference. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, you guys. For the majority of my life, my friendships have been very feeble. And I'll tell you why. I am the kind of person who dislikes being stagnant. I always want to be growing, I always want to be learning and becoming better. Today, I know that my best self is hidden in Christ. So I'm always striving towards the mark, right? Never reaching perfection. We'll never be perfect until we meet Jesus face to face. But in this life, I never want to be so comfortable or so prideful that I feel like there isn't room for me to improve. Now, this is a mindset that is not common amongst people. If you think about many of the people that you know, perhaps in your family or people that you went to high school with, most people play it safe their entire lives. They grow up in a certain area, they go to school in that area, they marry someone from that area, they build lives in that area, they die in that area. That has never been my story. Just a little bit of background about me. I'm originally from Decatur, Georgia, which is Metro Atlanta. I went to college in Montgomery, Alabama, and now I live in Dallas, Texas. In between all three of those moves, I have traveled the world both nationally and internationally as a professional artist, a teacher, a camp facilitator, judge, speaker. So the Lord has graced me with opportunities to move through this life in a way that if you were to put this on TV, right? If somebody were to want to make this a show, I think my life would be at least somewhat entertaining because there are so many different facets, so many different moves of God in my life that have not allowed me to stay connected to people who do not move with me, if that makes sense. So, God willing, and I know I'm supposed to say the prayer to the end, but I just feel this, so I'm gonna say it. God willing, you will never allow the people that you've been connected to in one season to hinder you from moving in whatever direction it is that God would have for you to go. Because that's something that God graced me with. I feel like I have the gift of cutting folks off because, baby, listen, you're not gonna hold me down. I will drop it and trust God with the next step. And again, that goes back to my relationship that was built in, I guess you could call that my seasons of solitude or just my time where I didn't have anyone else to lean on but my Heavenly Father. So I learned that, like the older people say, as long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. And that is kind of like my mantra. Now, ideally, you want to be connected to people, especially if you're a believer. You want to be connected to a church home, ideally. Have friends who share the same beliefs as you do or similar beliefs in terms of Christianity so that iron can sharpen iron and you can grow, even if that growth is just for a season, right? That's something else I had to learn on my walk with God. Every relationship that comes into your life is not meant to last forever. So we have to master the art of peacefully letting things go and letting people go as well. So pray about who you should be connected to at all times. And when you get that holy nudge from God to move forward with a friendship, relationship, with choosing a church home, then do that. And when God says move again, don't allow yourself to be so afraid that you hinder your growth because you wanted to stay the same. Everything in life changes. Everything that's living grows. So when you're stagnant, are you really alive? Right? Are you really living this full life that God has granted us through Christ? Pray about that and let's move on to the next topic. Might you or someone you know benefit from godly feminine advice? Well, I've got something in store for you. I am launching ABCD, which stands for Asia Martin's Brand Consultations for Dancers. Now, you might be saying, how do I take part in this if I'm not a dancer and if I don't have a brand? Well, this is a coaching service that's open to all. You don't have to be a dancer. However, if you are, say you're a part of a team and you would like this service for your entire group, that option is available as well. Essentially, this is an opportunity to receive coaching from myself on how to best dance through life. Booking is now available through the link in my Instagram bio, @onlyasianashe. Can't wait to coach you. Okay, now this is something that I have not talked about in great detail, but therapy has been a game changer for me in terms of godly feminine outlets. Now, I know there may be conversations in Christendom around whether or not Christians should seek out therapy. But I'ma just say what I know to be true based on what I understand about God, how he works, and how he uses people, right? So let's step outside of mental health for a second. In terms of God getting a word to you or getting a blessing to you, he's not just gonna drop it out of the sky. I mean, unless you're the Israelites and he's dropping manna or something, but I don't think that's happening today, guys. I don't think it's happening anymore. Now, God is God, so God can do anything. But as of late, no manna has dropped from the heavens. Typically, the way that God chooses to bless us or to inform us of things or help us to move forward in life is through human connection. Hence why when he made Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And You can fact check me, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't just apply to males, right? We were created to be amongst other people, right? Amongst other believers. So if that's the case, and God has gifted us all with these different talents and these different bits of insight and wisdom to pour into other people, then why do we think that God would be against bettering our mental health through seeking therapy? That's something you can take to God. However, I'm going to speak from my experience. So, in what I would say was probably top two and not number two of my darkest points in life, I felt so. I'm trying to think of like a good word. Like my mind felt in a way that it had never felt before in my life. Like I couldn't get a hold on my thoughts. Like they were continuously negative and just worrying and questioning. And that was a place that signaled to me, okay, I prayed about this, but I feel that I need to go deeper, right? There's the spiritual aspect of it, but there's also the logical aspect of it. There is the cerebral aspect of it in terms of how our brain is processing information and why. And that's what I believe that mental health care specialists, are there for. So I am definitely an advocate for therapy, especially for Black people, because our life experiences have just been, in many cases, these roller coasters of highs and lows, trying to navigate through this world that, if you're in America, we know that it was not built for us, right? But we are trying to function in this fishbowl daily, right? We're like, in the fishbowl, y'all know I like animals a little bit, whatever. I like pets. I don't have none, but fish. My grandma had a fish back in the day, but she had this big old goldfish, and the fish had to be in a certain temperature of water, a certain type of water, a certain amount of water in order to grow and live its best life. Like my grandma's fish, that was the biggest goldfish I had ever seen. Like it grew to be so big, and it lived from the time my parents, or my mom rather, was a young girl, so she was like in her 30s, because it was in its proper environment, right? So when we think about this world, which I refer to as a fishbowl in terms of America for Black people, we are literally trying to function and live our best lives in water, in an environment that was built for another kind of fish. So there's a certain level of trauma, even if you haven't been through anything that has been detrimental per se. There's a certain level of trauma that comes along with just being Black in America. Now, first and foremost, I am a Christian, but it's unwise to be so spiritual that you negate the natural, right? So, although I know that I'm a child of God, and I know I can seek God in prayer, and I know that He hears me and that He has a good plan for me, with me knowing those things, I also know that in wisdom, He has instructed me to seek Him for the connections that I am to make that would better me, even if that means going to a therapist to make sense of the thoughts that are happening in my mind. Okay, because for me, a lot of the things that I was doing in my present day circumstances were largely and sometimes wholly based on the things I had experienced as a child. So when I did go to therapy and I was able to finally talk with someone and get a different perspective than my own, right? It allowed me to look at things in an even more well-rounded way and start to add that on to my own internal processing. And for me, that really unlocked the door for me to not only know myself better, but to be able to approach my relationship with God in a more honest way. Another feminine outlet that has been great for me has been blogging. Now, blogging is like a digital journal. And I had a blog. I still have a blog. I don't write on it anymore, but it's called Grace Grind Glory, or GX3 for short. Shout out to you if you've been rocking with me since GX3. I told y'all I go through many different phases, so if you've been with me for a while, you know what I'm talking about. So my blog was the place that I would go to express my creativity, my ideas concerning fashion, the things that I was learning along the way, things that I felt would benefit my audience. My entire goal has always been to help people be their best selves because I didn't always have someone in my life who was giving me the insight and the lessons and the real lived life experience to pull from and implement into my own life. I had to kind of many times just kind of learn the hard way, and it doesn't have to be like that. So with blogging, that's a great way to take the attention off yourself for a while and instead focus your energy on feeding your audience through your blog posts. Next on our list of godly feminine outlets is letter writing. So, I know it might be kind of old school, but guess what? There are some things we can pull from the old school that will help us in our present day. Yes. And letter writing is one of those things. So, with letter writing, in the sense that I'm speaking of it today, I don't mean literally writing the letter, putting it in an envelope, putting a stamp on it, and sending it to somebody. No, these are letters that you keep to yourself. So whenever I'm having strong emotions and I'm not 100% sure if I am ready or if I desire to share those thoughts with another person, sometimes I'll just write a letter. And just like journaling, I'll read the letter back. And more often than not, in those instances, the emotions that I'm putting on paper, they're not typically for the other person. Typically, the emotions that I'm writing down in the letter are for me to look at and process on my own and come to a place of forgiveness or acceptance in terms of my relationship with this other person. Okay, oftentimes the words we speak, especially when they're superfluous, right? When there's a lot that we have to say, is typically not for the other person. Those are typically words that you need to hear for yourself. So, letter writing provides a great opportunity to do that without causing further damage or opening up a door that God has closed in your life. And last but certainly not least, y'all know I had to talk about prayer. Now, prayer is something that I learned the hard way. Even when I was going through my first bit of a traumatic experience, I would say, my first time experiencing that, I kind of was praying, but it wasn't until maybe that third time where I found myself just feeling alone and lost and just in the dark, that I finally got on my face, literally, in prayer. And I stayed there until God purified all those parts of me that I had withheld from Him in times past. And through that practice that became a habit, that became a lifestyle, I learned how to rend my heart at Jesus's feet, literally to wring my heart out before Him. Because what I learned during those times was that, man, God is actually hearing me. And how do I know that He's hearing me? Because as I go to the feet of the cross, to His feet, to Jesus's feet, right, to the base of the cross, I am becoming restored. I am feeling renewed. I am feeling relieved. I am receiving revelation. I am being put in right connections with right people. So I learned that I don't have to carry this burden alone. Jesus tells us that His yoke is light, or His burden is light. Y'all know, go read the Bible, okay? But essentially, what God tells us is that when we are in partnership with Him, yes, we are going to have situations come about in life that feel like they are going to tear us down, right? But when we walk with Him, when we pick up our cross daily and walk with Him, step by step, prayer by prayer, right? He's building us up. He's giving us light for our feet, right? To take just one more step at a time. He's lighting our path. And that is how He wants us to live, day by day. So through prayer and through building a habit of prayer, I eventually stumbled my way into relationship where prayers might not sound like, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Hallowed be thy name," right? And that is great. That is important, and all that is true and valid. But so is, "All right, Lord, what this person got going on? Let me feel in my spirit, Father God, lead me, guide me in terms of which move I should take, because I don't know what to think based on how this person's moving, how they're treating me," right? Even simple things like, "Lord, which outfit you want me to put on today?" That's where I've gotten to through a habit of prayer. So prayer, if you're seeking true relationship, and when I say relationship, I mean you talking to God, God speaking to you, you have to become a person of prayer, and you have to become a student of the word. But we'll save that for season two. Thank you guys so much for going on this journey with me through season one of Bar Talk. This episode will bring this season to an end, but I'm looking forward to seeing you in season two, where we'll go deeper on our journey of dancing through life as feminine women in Christ. So, as always, I'm going to end this podcast with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you humbly, saying thank you, Father God, for carrying me through every storm that you intended to be a part of my life. If it had not been for those storms, I would not be able to pour into your daughters in the way that you have called me to in this season. So I know that for every raindrop and every tear that I cry, you meant for it to water a precious seed. So for that, ooh. For that, Lord God, I praise you, Father God. I pray that every one of my sisters that may be going through a storm right now, Father God. I pray that they hold tight to your word, Father God, which says that you would never leave us or forsake us, even when it feels like the boat is too rocky for us, Father God. When you make it seem in your perfect design as if we fall off the boat, we're going to drown, Father God, I pray that we would have the faith of Peter, Father God, to step off the boat, Lord God, and keep walking towards you with no fear in our hearts, knowing that you are our comforter, Father God, and you would never let anything happen to your sheep because you are the good shepherd, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, for every one of my sisters who has found this podcast valuable in this season. I pray that no matter where they go on this journey that you have for them, that they would remember to keep you first and to heal and to become whole through godly feminine outlets, not the outlets that are presented by this world, not social media, not negative friends, Father God, not past traumas, but I pray that they would find their identity in you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone out there who needs to accept you as their Savior, that their hearts would be open right now to receive you as their Savior. If this applies to you, just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sins. Lord, I receive you into my heart. And I believe that your Son Jesus came to free me from all sin, from all trauma, from all pain. You took it in your body and you nailed it to the cross. And because I believe, I receive you, Father God, as my Savior. And I will live my life in a way that best honors you as I continue to storm through this life and to weather every season. You intended me to be a storm within a storm, and I can only do that with your power. So right now, Father God, I receive it. I speak the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over every listener on this podcast. And I pray, I decree that each one of them would be used mightily in every arena that you see fit for them, Father God. I thank you and I honor you and I praise your holy name always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.